Who owns your money? You ever think about that? Do you own your money or does somebody else own your money? Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is a live prophecy reality edition, so I'd like everyone to come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com if you're able, and join us there. You can make comments, questions, take part of the links in the chat room, whatever, or if you're busy, your hands are busy and you're a working man or woman, well, just keep working and keep listening while you work on your prophecy reality news app, as I know there are several out there listening to their Prophecy Reality News app. And if you haven't got your Prophecy Reality News app yet on your stupid phone, I have it on mine. Smartphone, yeah. Go to your app store and type in Prophecy Reality News and download it. And you can listen to First Amendment Radio and get hooked up with Prophecy Reality. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit more about today. Is prophecy reality. And that is, we have prophecy, which is history given in advance, and we have to live with the reality of how it's going to play out on the ground here. And that's what we're going to talk about. And my question is, who owns your money? Now, I'm sitting on the land in the United States of America, more specifically somewhere in Southern California, along the Southern Sierra foothills. And in this country, we have a country that was founded upon godly principles, primarily, I would say. And after the original 13 colonies confederated with their Articles of Confederation, someone came up with the idea that they needed to form a more perfect union. But I think it was a deception and a guise myself, because of what has gone on. And then the little bit of poison that was in the original document, the Constitution for the United States of America. Anyway, they had written in that law, and for those that were worried about losing their rights, well, they added the Bill of Rights to that. The first 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights, to the Constitution of the United States of America, you had those first 10 amendments, or Bill of Rights, it's called. And also it said in the Constitution that no state shall use anything except for gold or silver in payment of debts. That meant that, yeah, that they would have a common money. And the money would be denominated by weight in silver and gold between the states. And then later on, they drew up the Coinage Act and to enact legislation to carry out that that real money edict in America. Because they realized, they knew that real money was necessary for a free people. And that's why I asked the question, who owns your money? Yeah, who owns your money? I don't have any money on me to show you, but you all know what it looks like. And money has changed quite a bit in the last 200 years. Anyway, they had the Coinage Act, and so many grains of gold and silver were a dollar or $20 appropriately, because an ounce of silver, that ounce containing so many grains of silver, was a dollar. And then also for the $20 gold piece, they had so many grains of gold were to make up that ounce or that $20 gold piece. And so we had the Coinage Act to enact the clause in the Constitution that no state shall pay their debts with anything but gold and silver. So this was commerce between the states. How are they going to settle their debts between each other? And so we had real money for quite a while. And the bankers constantly were trying to get in and being fought off by some very courageous people in the early years of this country, fighting against the private banks taking over and creating a central bank for the United States, as they had done in other countries. In other words, they owned the money of those countries where they moved in. But we had a free banking system in America. You or me, 200 years ago, that is, we could have gone out and we could have put up a shingle on a building or an office somewhere and said, bank. And we could have opened up a bank. We could have took deposits and gave people scripts to write on their gold and silver. Because, you know, I mean, let's say you were a very, very rich man and you had, you know, a couple $100,000 worth of gold. Well, I mean, that would get a little heavy to carry around, even at $20 an ounce. That could get pretty heavy. So you'd put it in the bank and you could draw a draft on it where people would, you know, take your draft to the bank. The bank would verify the draft, however they did it to secure, because, you know, they had an interest in making sure that everything was secure and that the wrong person wasn't getting the money, that a theft wasn't taking place. And so, then the private banks had to figure out ways to communicate with each other and transfer drafts from one bank to another across state lines and so forth. Okay. So banking, interstate commerce, banking regulations came into play, but still it was a free country, and anyone, there was no monopoly on banks. You know, the only monopoly would be by the riches a bank would have. The more money a bank had, I guess the more prominent it would become in an area. But still, anyone could also put out hang their shingle out anytime and start their own bank, okay? Whether they would succeed or not, that was another thing. And the banks, like I said, they learned how to communicate with each other. But continually, the private bankers, the private Vatican bankers, the Antichrist bankers, were trying to get into the country and set up their bank, their central bank, and gain their monopoly. Well, it took them a little more than 100 years to get their monopoly, and with what I call the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. And suddenly your money went from U.S. dollars to Federal Reserve notes. And these bankers weren't simply happy with having a monopoly on banking in America, because suddenly now nobody else, by this act of Congress, which many say was done, well, I say it was done by a coup. That's why I call it a Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, because of the circumstances under which the banking or the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Now, if you read your Bible, you read toward the end of the book, and you realize that Satan, through his Antichrist character and Antichrist government that rises up toward the end before Christ returns, before that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, returns to claim the dominion of the whole earth, his rightful dominion of the whole earth. Well, we learn that there is a Antichrist government that is set up. And all of these characters are outlined in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. You have the beast that was and is not and yet is, meaning that people wouldn't know it when they see it, basically. I mean, how else do you interpret a statement from the Bible that says was and is not yet is? That would lead me to believe that something exists here, and it's very confusing to most people. As a matter of fact, most people can't see it for what it is, right? And at the head of this would be an Antichrist character who would have suffered a loss in the past, but his losses, or the wound that he suffered when he suffered his losses at the end of a 1260-year overt reign, suddenly now becomes is and was not yet is, no longer overt, somewhat covert, perhaps reigning in plain sight, though most people can't see what's really going on. And him, through his people that he controls, his banking interests, he finally, by the power of money that he has in the old world, finally, after more than 100 years, purchases and buys and bribes his way to a Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury. And I say Federal Reserve coup, as many of you know that the Federal Reserve is not federal. It is not part of the United States government. It is a foreign banking cabal. Of course, it is named Federal Reserve to deceive you. It is part of the was and is not yet is deception, delusion, whatever you want to call it that's going on. Because the Antichrist suffered a great loss in his overt reign, and him and his counter-reformation army have learned some lessons from history very well, and that is that if they want to reign, it is not necessary to reign overtly. It is only necessary to have the power, but not really be seen having the power. Because when you're seen as having the power, well, then you draw the ire of all of those that you're taking advantage of, using, oppressing, and stealing from, and exercising power over. Yes, the Antichrist and his army learned their lessons very well. And so, if you believe your Bible, this Antichrist, at the end, gains control of the money, and eventually will cause everyone in the whole earth, rich and poor, small and great, free and bond, everyone, yeah, that pretty much covers everyone on the earth, will be required to commit an allegiance of some sort to the beast money power in order to participate in the monetary system. Are we there yet? Well, sometimes it feels like we're there, okay? I've been dealing with this for 20 years, putting off the numbering system, trying to keep myself separate as I can, and slowly losing immunities and privileges that are granted to the free citizens of the United States of America because of the requirement to participate in things. And as many of you know, about 3 weeks ago, I posted a post on the website and it says, is it Mark of the Beast time yet? Go to crosstheborder.org, scroll down a little bit, and it, like I said, it was on the 17th of September that I posted it. And I put stay tuned. I haven't got an answer to the letter yet. And that's in answer to Michael, who emailed me and asked me. And I'll keep you all posted if and when. I mean, this is part of the rights that we have under the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights is a redress of grievances. This letter is a redress of grievance. I mailed them a letter, and they have to answer me within a certain amount of time. They have to redress my grievance, okay? So I'm waiting for my redress here, and I'll let everyone know. But I'm telling them, look, you guys are, I believe that you're withholding my privileges and immunities due me as a U.S. citizen, and that is the right to have a passport so I can fly in a plane or leave the country legally, okay, if I want to. But they're withholding that because I'm not participating in the socialist security numbering system, because socialism is against God's law. And remember, those who resist the mark of the beast are those that keep the commandments of God. And thou shalt not steal is a commandment. And I know that many Christians don't, they're not going for that. They want to keep their socialist security number, even though there's no law that requires them to. And that's part of my grievance, too, is there's no law that requires me to participate in socialism or to be numbered or to have a number to simply live or work in the United States of America. So I'm expecting an answer probably within a couple weeks, hopefully. Hopefully they'll answer me in 30 days. That should be the rule, I think, okay? If they don't answer me in 30 days, I don't know what to do. I guess I have to drop a lawsuit and sue them personally. I will not use a lawyer. Maybe I can find an organization that will help me. I don't know. I might look into that if anyone knows anything, because I'm definitely being discriminated against on religious and political grounds here. I'm not a socialist, and my religious belief is such that I cannot violate the law of God and participate in socialism. Okay? And so we get to the religious issue. The religious issue, of course, is forced charity. Yeah, forced charity. Well, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Forced charity? See, because God loves a cheerful giver. So all charity must be, according to God's law, it must be voluntary. When someone is forced into charity, it's called tyranny. That's right. And that's what socialism is. It always leads to tyranny. This is what the Antichrist wants. This is social commune fascism is necessarily part and parcel of the Mark of the Beast monetary system, is social commune fascism. This is why the present Antichrist, Pope Francis, he loves socialism. He loves social justice. They would use the word social justice. That's where they take money from people that have stuff, and then they give the stuff from the people that have it to people that don't have it. That's called social justice. But the Bible calls it theft. And it's an abomination to God. Okay? And but see, the Antichrist and his government, and of course it's really our enemy Satan working through his witting and unwitting servants, those that serve him and worship him anyway, okay, working through them, have taken free charity away from where it belongs, the churches and other civic-minded private groups in the United States, because you can start a charity anytime you want. The church can do all the charity it wants. But because the government has taken it over, now if you go to a church, say you go to a, what do they call them, pregnancy help center or something at a church, you know what they do? Most of them, like 99% of them, they help you sign up for government benefits. Yeah, they aren't practicing real charity. They're benefactors who rule over you. They're practicing what Jesus said not to practice. He says, you know how the Gentiles, they're called benefactors and they lord it over one another. I mean, Jesus was directly and explicitly addressing socialism there. There's no other way to read what Jesus was writing there. He says they called benefactors, meaning that they aren't really benefactors, they're just called benefactors. They like to be seen as giving people stuff. And it's real easy to give stuff away when you use a gun to, or the threat of violence to take it from the population. And then you redistribute it, and then you're thought of as charitable. See? That's forced charity. That's an abomination. And Jesus said that's what the Gentiles do. That means that non-Christians, people are not part of the kingdom of God. That's what they do. He says, but you, we are not supposed to practice that. We're supposed to practice real charity. If you want to give someone something, give them your own substance, work for, labor for substance, and then use that substance charitably toward the poor. And that's true charity. And that's where the churches have failed, turning charity over, and then they become greedy. They build themselves bigger buildings, get jet airplanes or whatever, invest in entertainment, better carpet, better seating, better everything. They don't take care of the widows and orphans. They walk them down and help them fill out the forms so that the Antichrist can take care of them. Because, of course, if you read the book, you should know by now the money system. I asked beginning the show, who owns your money? The Antichrist owns your money. That's right. It's no longer substance, because God said the gold and the silver are mine. That's right. Money, you see, because gold and silver are substance that God created. So anytime you trade in substance, be it gold, silver, rice, beans, gravel, you know, salt, whatever, When you're trading substance for substance, you're trading in God's money. And thus we had a godly, lamb-like monetary system at the founding of this country. But no longer. The Antichrist, as the scripture predicted, now rules the monetary system. Who else is it? Who else could it be? Can you find in the Bible where there's someone else before the Antichrist? And see, this whole futurist doctrine of the Antichrist, because we can't know who he is, showing up for 3.5 years, and somehow during that 1260 days, gaining control over the saints. What's the exact wording? Oh, I'll come to it after the break. Anyway, you're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. My name is Nicholas, and we do this once a week. We come here live once a week, less often in the summer, and we just have an open discussion. My website is Across the Border. I ask you to go there and subscribe to the blog. The little follow button will pop up somewhere or something. Just make sure you click on there, and so you can have notifications when I put something up. And next segment, we're going to talk about a document that Michael from Virginia, my former producer, sent me. And I posted it on the website, so it'll be like one of the top article there if you go to the website. Supreme Court and High Court citations proving that no driver's license is necessary for normal use of an automobile on the common ways. An interesting thing. And why should we care about that as Christians and God's people? And what does that have to do with prophecy reality? Okay? That and more when we come back. Don't go anywhere. The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit Cross the Border. .org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. Well, I guess the question is, for this segment, why should we care about driving without a license, right? That's my latest post on my website, which is U.S. Supreme Court and High Court citations proving that no license is necessary for the normal use of an automobile on common ways, and why should anyone care? Well, reality and prophecy reality. Prophecy says that if you receive the mark of the beast, that you could be damned for that, because that makes you a violator of God's law. It points you out as a violator, because those that resist and overcome the mark of the beast temptation are those that keep the commandments of God. And, you know, the commandment is, thou shalt not steal. You cannot participate in forced charity, because it's theft and tyranny, and it's against God's law. And Jesus specifically and explicitly addressed the situation, and we talked about that in the first segment. Well, come along, you know, and so many years ago, when I was a young man, a teenager, and I took a driver's education in high school, and then they took me down and got me a driver's license in whatever state it was that was in, you know. And so okay, well, this is what you're supposed to do. So I got a driver's license, and I was able to travel by automobile, something I had a right to do, but didn't know that I could do that without a driver's license, even though I did that before. Before I got the driver's license, I drove without one. But anyway, so many years come later, you know, fast forward, how many years is that, you know, 40 years or whatever, and I'm living somewhere else, and then they legislate that you have to have the mark of the beast, the socialist, you have to be a card-carrying socialist and participate in forced charity, theft, in order to get a driver's license. So I began to think, well, you know, I'm going to violate God's law to get a driver's license? I don't think so. You know, because I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and I'm going to say no. And if I was participating, I would repent and say no that way. Because either, you know, if you're doing the wrong thing, you know, repentance is a requirement according to the gospel that Jesus preached, you know, repent for the kingdom is at hand. So if what you're doing doesn't quite line up with his kingdom and his laws and what you would do because you love God and you want to please him, well, then you're going to repent and change your mind about that and start doing something different, or withdrawing or not participating in those things that are a violation of God's law. So I decided, well, you know, I could continue to have a driver's license and violate God's law, to continue to participate, or I could just not. And then researching into it, I find things like this, what I posted on my website there, or I reposted on my website, but I have seen this compilation before, so he did post it, and I am posting it here again for you if you need the court cases. Now, I have travel papers on my website, if you at crosstheborder.org. If you scroll down on the left-hand side, you'll see the support button, then you'll see the trending now, and then you'll see a link to First Amendment Radio with Martin Luther there nailing his 95 thesis. There it is. Anyway, and you'll see under this here, it says National ID Cards, Your Papers, Please. And if you click on that, it'll take you to a facsimile of my travel paper. My actual one I carry is double-spaced in two pages and signed under penalty of perjury, making it a legal document. But you can see basically this is what it is. And it has some laws there from the Bible, Old and New Testament law, prohibiting participation in Social Security by citizens of his kingdom and other things. And plus, and if you do end up in court, which I haven't yet, they see my legal document that I hand them, because I carry several copies, so I can say, oh, please keep, you know, take this copy and keep it for your file, you know, because, you know, if I'm traveling in a locality and they have a police department, well, I want them to have my my documentation on file in case they stop me again, right? So I carry like three copies, and one so I can read, one so I'll have an extra, and one so I can give to the police officer. And I say, yes, here, take that. And it's double spaced and signed under penalty of perjury, making it a legal document and a testimony and evidence. Yeah, it's all those things. And it's also a notice that that anything they do can and will be used against them in a court of law. How about that for turning the tables? Anything they can and do will be used against them in a court of law, because I'm giving them the first legal document in a potential lawsuit. Okay? That's why I love it. It's a great document, and it seems to work every time. And so, but it has to be true. You can't fake this stuff, man. It has to be true. So go there, read it, and you can make your own, but make it true for you. Okay? Don't just, you can copy mine as much as you want. Just don't have my name on it. But like I said, make sure that it's true for you. And so the latest posting here at my website, which is this one here, the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, these are, in case you do get into a lawsuit, you got plenty of precedent to support your case. But I don't think you'll get beyond the police letting you go and leaving you alone. And plus, since they have you documented, they will avoid you like the plague. But you know, when you're out there in the highway and traveling on the public ways, you have to have good tires. Your automobile has to be in safe working condition, and you have to keep it that way, because they do have an interest in the safety of the other travelers on the highway. So if you're riding around with bald tires, they have a right to stop you, because you're endangering the lives, the liberty, and the property of other people out there. So you need to follow all the rules of the road, and you should gladly do that. Because, you know, the stoplights and the stop signs and all of the rules and the lines and the road. You know why they're there? I'm going to tell you why they're there. Because there's a commandment that goes like this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we put all these rules out there for everyone to follow so we can love each other. So we don't have to fight over who gets to go first at an intersection. We have rules or lights to follow, so that we can practice the commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're all equal on the road, in other words. So all those are good things, and we should abide by those. Even like talking on your cell phone while you're driving. Don't do that nonsense, you know. Definitely don't text. We know how dangerous that is. And make sure your vehicles and your brakes are not on the verge of going out, and your tires aren't on the verge of blowing out and endangering other people. Okay? Because then they have an interest in stopping you. Okay? But they cannot compel me to participate in socialism, because it's supposedly still a free country. Now, oh, here we go. Talking about mixing all this up with the Antichrist monetary system. Right now, you know, after the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913, it wasn't even 20 years before they created their first financial crisis worldwide, basically. And that's what it was, a worldwide crisis. Because they had now created, with the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, they had created the first world reserve currency. And I mean not money, but currency. But it was backed by gold. And they had to do that at first, to have all the other countries accept the Federal Reserve note in their countries. They had to back it by gold, saying, okay, any country has Federal Reserve notes, they can come to the United States now and they can get gold. But U.S. citizens, it's illegal for you to own gold, because we have to give it to the other countries to get them hooked on this world reserve currency. Because it's not really federal, it's not really United States, it is a banking cartel monetary system. By their coup of the U.S. Treasury, they got in very slick, Satan and his cohorts, the Antichrist and his money minions, his money cartel powers. Very, very slick what they've done. And, well, you see what they've done. They've taken over the money. They removed the gold and silver. It's now all fiat usury. It's Satan's monetary system now. Satan has taken over the monetary system of the world under his Antichrist governments of the world. It's no longer gold and silver or substance in trade. It's now fiat usury. And Satan is creating, or the money powers, Satan through his money powers are creating the next great financial crisis for the world. And that's why the government's borrowing trillions, $19 trillion this year for the U.S. Treasury? Money we can never pay back. And it's only escalating, compounding. The amount they have to borrow every year can only go up. It can't go down. Meanwhile, it's theft. Definitely Satan's monetary system, because he is a thief. His intent is to rob, to kill, to steal, and destroy the human race. That's his intent. So he's creating this crisis, and he's robbing everybody. Because every time they borrow $19 trillion, where do you think the value for that money comes from? Well, it comes from all of the other dollars that are already out there, or whatever. Dollars, francs, D-marks, euros. It's all the same thing now, because it's all digital, and it's all run by the Antichrist money cartel. So when they create new money out of thin air, they rob everybody on earth. But the next crisis, and we see the end of this, because it's already been demonstrated in history, because it escalates and it compounds and it starts getting faster and faster and faster, to where suddenly the inflation rate is so high that nobody can keep up with it. It's like, you know, the old story you heard about in Germany, when the inflation was so high that a guy had a wheelbarrow full of money and he's going down the street to get some bread. And he stopped his wheelbarrow, set it by the door, and walked away for a minute. When he came back, somebody had stolen his wheelbarrow. They dumped the money out on the ground, took the wheelbarrow. It was worth more than the money in it. And that's already happened. I think it was Brazil. Is that Brazil where that just happened recently? And it keeps happening in these little countries around the world. But the crisis that will hit the world and smack it right upside the head and knock this financial system for cartwheels will be when it happens here in America. And it is happening right now. Oh, we're at the beginning of it, but I know that prices have doubled. Definitely in the last 10 years. That's an escalation of epic proportion. Well, we don't seem to feel it, though, because we keep going, you know, making more money and people get raises, but not as fast as and plus they have their official inflation rate, which doesn't count all the things that count. Well, we're not going to count gasoline and whatever, you know. No, we live here on the ground, and you have to count everything for it to be real. And I know that prices have more than doubled on everything in the last 10 years. Who's kidding who out here, right? And property values keep going up and up and up. The cost of medicine and, you know, health care goes up and up. And all these things contribute to it. But it goes back down to the one thing, the power that Satan has by the multitude of his merchandise through the money creation power. He has filled the earth with violence and will continue to fill it with violence. And when this next great crisis comes, then they're going to turn the blame on everything that did not create it, like capitalism. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, you see, that's already happening. And greed, as if the Antichrist wasn't the most greedy man on earth, and his minions, their greed for power outweighs any other greed out there. But greed, the greed they feed to create the crisis. And so what's going to come about? Well, it's going to come about in chapter 13. And, you know, I've got some questions for the futurists out there. I mean, here's a scripture I was trying to think of before, but couldn't quite get my brain to squeeze it out. And here it is on the screen for you. Revelation 13:5. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell therein. And you know, everyone from the futurists to the Reformation fathers to the amillennialists, they all agree this is the Antichrist right here. Those two verses that I read are about the Antichrist. But here, I got a question for all you futurists out there that don't believe the Antichrist has been around for 500 years. Okay? That the Antichrist is not in power yet. Although all the signs, everything we've talked about for this entire hour, tell you absolutely the Antichrist is in control. Okay? You read the next verse and it says, and it was given him. Remember, this is during the 42 months. Okay? This is already history. Okay? It was given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is the Antichrist for 42 months or 1260 days or times time and half a time. If the saints are raptured and the during the only 3.5 years or 7 years that the Antichrist actually is in power, how does he have the power to make war with the saints and to overcome them? Isn't there something wrong with your eschatology? Or is this Bible verse here wrong? And I'm telling you, this is already history because the Antichrist did rule for 1260 years and he did these things during the 1260 years. And he was punished. And he was judged. And the scripture says that they, as a result of that punishment and judgment at the end of the 1260 years, when the Antichrist lost his temporal reign over the earth, and especially the old world, okay, it says that they repented not of their sins. But it also then starts talking about the beast that was and is not yet is. And it says that this Antichrist in control of this beast, that the head, that is the Antichrist himself, that controls the beast, when it was wounded at the end of this 1260 year reign, in which it made war with the saints and overcame them and killed them by the hundreds of million, and it's all history that the papal Antichrist did all these things for 1260 years, but it says that his wound would be healed. And that he would be in power, though people would not recognize him. The beast that was and is not yet is the new description for the Antichrist government that rules the world right now. And you can see the signs that he rules the world because it is not God's monetary system that is in the world, because money is power. And the Antichrist knows where the power is. And that's why he controls the money. And the scripture, when you read down to the very bottom of the very same chapter of the book of Revelation, where it says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or the forehead, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. You have to accede to the Antichrist, his government, the beast that he controls, the number of his name, or his name, to participate in Satan's monetary system controlled by the Antichrist. And that will be when the great crisis, the next great financial crisis, comes, and they set up their final system. Then it won't be a matter of me going, there's no law that requires me to participate. It'll be a matter of them hunting people down who do not participate, like the Inquisitions of old. But I'm going to exercise my liberty as long as I can. And it may put a target on me when the change, when the great crisis comes. And then the rest of the world, which is already going along, because most of the world is pagan, most of the world is apostate. It's like we're losing our liberties as driver's license. The ordinary people didn't need a driver's license to travel on the road, but they tricked them and got them to volunteer to the point where now most, when most people have volunteered, when the majority have volunteered, do the minority have a right anymore to not volunteer? Well, it's funny how that happens. When the majority volunteers, then the minority lose their right to not volunteer. Pretty slick, huh? Like socialism. There's no law that requires me to volunteer. No law that requires me to have a number or to participate in socialism. But guess what? Most people have already volunteered. Many of them were tricked into volunteering. I mean, I know I was at one time tricked into volunteering, but I have unvolunteered. Okay? I've withdrawn. I've repented. You know, I like that other lie that the futurists, the Counter-Reformation futurist scheme made up that, well, once you get the mark, that you're going to hell and there's no hope for you and you can't even repent. Well, gee, you know, that's like the lie that Satan would like to tell you about God. That God will, you can do stuff that God will not forgive you. And then Satan will get you to do it. He'll trick you into doing it. And then he'll tell you the lie. Well, too late. You're already going to hell. If, you know, or get you to deny that what you've done is actually wrong and a violation of God's law. Because if it is, then you have to admit that you're condemned to hell forever and there's no remedy. But Satan is a liar. You know, the Bible also says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. But we know that we have all lied. So if we're going to strictly interpret that passage in the scripture that says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, that we're all condemned to the lake of fire, there's no hope for us. Oh, but thank God through Jesus Christ that we can repent. By his blood, our sins can be washed away. We can repent not only of lying, but accepting the mark of the beast and many, many other even more grievous and abominable sins. Murder, idolatry, theft, any sexual sin, socialism, participating in the mark of the beast system and lying. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Cross the border into the kingdom of God and live forever. There's nothing more important. Become, you know, well, recognize your place amongst God's elect. And if you're not sure about that, just call on the name of the Lord. Say, Father, I want to be one of your elect. No matter what it takes, lead me, guide me, and keep me safely in your kingdom. Well, that's all we have time for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you continue to walk on the narrow way that leads to life.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.